For analysis on the week ahead on Capitol Hill, NewsHour Weekend Special Correspondent Jeff Greenfield joined us from Santa Barbara, California. Jeff, first of all, the past couple of weeks to try to keep track of these different bills has been incredibly difficult, not only parsing where the support lies, but what's in which one.
Let me take a shot at this. First is the bipartisan infrastructure bill. That would provide about $600 billion in new money for roads, bridges, rail, rural broadband, so-called hard infrastructure. That's the bill that a number of Republicans in principle have said they'd like to support. The other one is the much more ambitious $3.5 trillion Democrats-only bill that provides for social spending from pre-K to 2 years of free community college, vastly expanded Medicare for dental and vision services, help for childcare, help for seniors. And there's not a single Republican in the Senate who will support it. So you need every Democrat, and then Kamala Harris is the tiebreaker. So those are the two bills that are making their way or not through the process.
If on the bipartisan bill you get these 10 Republicans to sign on, is it a done deal? Do you have the 60 plus necessary to get this thing going?
I think there are more potholes than in the streets of New York, because this is the Congress you're talking about. You've got a couple of powerful Democratic senators who say, if our water projects are not in this bill, we won't support it. You've got a couple of Democrats in the House who feel aggrieved that they weren't part of the negotiations, and they're saying, maybe we won't support it. Just this morning, Rob Portman, one of the negotiators for the Republicans, is saying, I don't think I like the level of public transit money. So there are so many ways that infrastructure bill cannot work that nobody should assume that it's a done deal at all.
All right, let's talk about the big one, the $3.5 trillion one. In lots of ways, this is unprecedented. Why?
Well, it's always been my belief, and I think history confirms it, that the way Democrats have gotten big social programs was after they won landslide elections, Roosevelt in 32 with the New Deal, LBJ with the Great Society. In this case, you're talking about what Bernie Sanders accurately calls the biggest social program since the New Deal, being passed in a 50-50 Senate. If it happens, it would be, as I say, absolutely unprecedented, but I wouldn't bet a lot on a result that winds up with nothing. You just don't know how this is going to play out.
Here we've got these two pieces of legislation, but put that in context of what we're living through now and maybe some of the consequences we haven't thought through.
Well, the first is COVID. If there is a resurgence of COVID, not only could it really hurt economically, but the whole sense of optimism we were seeing a month ago, we're out of this, I think will be replaced by, oh no, here we go again. And for an incumbent, you want an upbeat, buoyant country when the party's being judged in the midterms. The second one is this shortage of computer chips, which is worldwide and pervasive, has really put the auto industry on its uppers. You've got millions of orders, literally, that can't be filled, and you've got thousands of workers idled. If this keeps going, that's going to have a real impact on the economy, and it is not exactly politics 101 to say that an incumbent party facing bad economic times does not do well in the midterms.
Jeff, there's this movement now to take a closer look at the events of January 6th, and Nancy Pelosi has essentially kept some of President Trump's supporters out, and now she's saying she might let one of his detractors on the committee.
Two of the people that Kevin McCarthy wanted on that panel are the most aggressive deniers of what happened on January 6th. And along with Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger is one of the few Republicans who voted to impeach Donald Trump. So they may be Republicans, but this does not look like any more progress towards some kind of joint understanding, because the two parties have two very different views of this. And some of those Republicans' views, you know, it was a peaceful protest and George Soros and Antifa started it.
This week, we also saw several members of the Republican Party and even some members of Fox News change their messaging around vaccines. Will it work?
I think it'll work partway. It's really quite striking that you had what was a politically divided notion about vaccines like masks, which is really striking and unprecedented. And when you have the conservative governor of Alabama telling the non-vaccinated, this is your fault, That tells you that reality may be intruding here.
Jeff Greenfield joining us from Santa Barbara, California. Thanks so much.
Thank you.